诸位菩萨早安。
Good morning, everybody.
听说今天那个 Manhattan 有马拉松比赛，所以又要把街道围起来，大概又会有交通阻塞，所以今天还不错，大家还很多人蛮早来的，大概有一些人会陆续迟到。
I heard that there's a marathon that's taking place in Manhattan, so maybe they're blocking off roads or whatnot. And so it's great that you're able to make it, and I think people might be trickling in by and by.
那我们这今年的主题讲大圣大吉地藏十轮经，那上次讲第一次讲的整体的介绍，然后上次讲的第一卷，那第一卷没有讲完。今天继续讲。
So, since a couple months ago, we have started, the teaching and discussion of the Sutra of Ten Chakra of Chitigarbha Bodhisattva. And, in the first session, I gave you an overview of what the sutra is about. And the second session, we've started delving into chapter one, but we didn't finish it. And today, we're going to continue that discussion.
那第一品其实每一部经的第一品都非常的不好讲，但是呢，那对大部分讲经的人来讲，也像我这样子程度比较不好的，通常也会把它快快的就把它 pass 过去，因为要讲起来，真的要把三藏十二部都搬出来讲。
So usually, in sutras,The first chapter tend to be the most difficult to talk about, to discuss. And for people like me, I tend to like to pass through chapter one rather quickly. Because if you really want to go into the specifics, you actually have to really go deep into the sutras.
那这一卷的第一卷呢，也不例外。那所以就是说，以后大家如果去看任何一部经典，第一卷尤其是佛要放光啊，下什么雨啦，然后 又出种种这个神通力什么的，那个都不是凭空捏造的，这在经典都有依据的。也就是说，每一部经的第一卷都是就是这部经的目的地，就是我们修持受持这部经修这部经最后的目标就在第一卷。所以第一卷其实都在讲佛菩萨的功德力，不是那么的好讲。但是呢，我们要有一个概念，说这部经到底在修什么的，那我们在修持的时候那个目标就比较清楚。比如说假设金刚经，他强调的是空性，波野的空性，可是他也不是说一定是空，他又讲有，但是空有就是三轮这个什么三翻转嘛，所以要抓住这个经典的重点呢，一定要在刚开始的时候就要下功夫。
And this sutra, this particular sutra is no exception.The chapter one is indeed quite difficult. So in the future, whenever you read sutras, study sutras, in the first chapter, usually it's a description of the light the Buddha emits and the rains of flowers or whatnot, showing superpower. These are not metaphors or imaginary. They're real.And the point of showing all these is to give us a clear goal of the end point, the end goal of our practice. So whenever we're studying a sutra, the chapter one is showing us what is it that you're trying to get to by demonstrating all these virtues and powers of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So it gives us an overall framework as to what are we trying to achieveSo, for instance, the Diamond Sutra, in the first chapter, it discusses empty nature, but that's not all it covers. It actually delves into the details. So the first chapter gives you an overview of what the sutra will cover and the goal that we're ultimately trying to achieve.
那第 这个这部经的第一卷的上半部呢，我们从它这个经典的因缘，然后讲到佛介绍地藏王菩萨好进来，然后佛跟地藏王菩萨两个就一搭一唱的互相赞美对方。那这个上部是把地藏王菩萨怎么赞美佛，他为什么有能力赞佛的因缘讲了。那至于呢佛赞美地藏王菩萨呢，就有两个主要的跟止观有关系的定慧有关系的，就是在讲地藏王菩萨的妙定神通力是怎么来的。
So in this first chapter, the first half of the first chapter, first it describes the conditions that gives rise to this sutra, and then the Buddha then introduces Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, and then the two of them went back and forth praising each other, and it also provides justifications and reasoning of why Chittagarbha Bodhisattva is able to praise the Buddha to this extent, the extent of the specific.How specific he's able to praise the Buddha, which is then related to his own understanding of virtues. And then the Buddha then, also praises Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, and the praise actually falls into two main categories, and which is describing Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's wondrous samadhi and superpower. And it's divided into, the supreme Surgama samadhi andalso his power, samatha and vipassana.
Okay. 那妙定神通力就是在讲地藏王菩萨的定慧力。那上次我们介绍的首楞严三摩地，那这个要讲起来就要把楞严经搬出来讲了，因为首楞严三昧就是阿难在问佛的原因，也是楞严经会讲楞严经的因缘。好，那阿难问了佛说，什么是妙色摩他、妙三摩波提、妙禅那，然后展开了整部的楞严经。好，那这个首楞严三昧呢，地藏王菩萨也是有的。
So it goes into describing Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's wondrous power, which focuses on the samatha and vipassana, power of stability and then wisdom. And the first of these two is the supreme Surgama Samadhi. And to go into details to describe the samadhi, we actually have to study the Surgama Sutra. And talk about the origin. And basically, it's Ananda asking the Buddha, what is it? What is this supreme samadhi? What is wondrous contemplative insight? What samatha? So what is this wondrous stilling of the mind, which is samatha? And what is this wondrous samapatti, the contemplative insight?And the wonders of Dhyana, the meditation in true suchness.
那他第二个呢，三昧能力呢，是狮子奋训床三摩地。
And the second of the samadhi that Chittagarbha Bodhisattva has is called lion-like vigorous samadhi.
那等一下哈，那这个刚刚是讲过了的哈，这个 mouse 不知道到哪里去。好，这就是刚刚讲的哈，首楞严三昧它有妙色摩他、妙三摩、妙禅那，它最主要是要用这三种其实叫做总称首楞严定呢，来破除妄尘、妄根跟妄识的作用哈。那这个呢，就请六月来听国行法师讲哈，这个首楞严三昧哈。
So going back to the first samadhi, the supreme Surgama samadhi, again it's asking about these wondrous samadhi, and the point of having these is to uproot the illusory objects, faculties, and consciousness, And to gain a better understanding and more in-depth understanding of this, please come back in June and attend the retreat, which will be held by Master Guo Xi.
Okay. 那这个我就快快的 pass 过去了哈。就是圣摩他主要是在修空观。好，那在心经来讲是修色即是空，色不异空。那三摩波提是修不空观，那空即是色，空不异色。禅那是修中观，离即离非，是即是非。
So let me just give you a quick overview of Sargama Samadhi. The practice of Samatha is a contemplation of emptiness, and it's related to what the Heart Sutra talks about, where form is emptiness and form does not differ from emptiness. Whereas the second part, Samapatti, is the contemplation of non-emptiness, where emptiness is form and emptiness is also not differ from form.And the third part is dhyana, the contemplation of middle way, where it does not depart from the extremes of affirmation nor negation, yet it's simultaneously affirming and negating.
那上次我有用圆觉经来做比喻哈，其实妙色摩他、妙三摩波提、妙禅那跟色摩他、三摩波提、禅那差一个妙字，可是呢，它是不一样的境界。它是如来的境界，不是一般我们修止观、修禅定的境界。
So last time I give you some examples from the Sutra of Perfect Enlightenment, and to point out that the difference between the regular practice of Samatha, Samapatti, and Dhyana, and it differs actually from the wondrous.Samatha, wondrous Samapatti, and wondrous Dhyana, because the one that has the word wondrous, it's actually revealing the state of Buddhas and Tathagatas.
那也就是说，地藏王菩萨呢，他已经悟入了如来境界，然后他得到的最胜无生法忍。那无生法忍，据经典上是说，如果我们见性，初次见性、见佛性的时候呢，是登初地。初地的从初地开始是分正，就是少分少分正无生法忍。那只有到十地菩萨的时候，是得最胜无生法忍。那至于什么是无生法忍呢
？So Chittagara Bodhisattva has already obtained this enlightenment, this supreme enlightenment, wondrous enlightenment.That enters the realm of Tathagata. So in the sutras, we have already talked about when you first attain enlightenment, you have entered the first state, first stage. And from that point on, gradually, step by step, that you obtain further and deeper realizations. It's not only up until the 10th state that you will be able to obtain this most supreme forbearance of non-arising.And so what basically we're talking about here is that Chittagara Bodhisattva, he has already obtained this highest level of samadhi.
无生法忍哦，他不是说我们要去忍什么东西哈，像一般我们凡夫嘛，就说我要修忍辱，我要忍耐，对不对？那我现在要修，不要生气，看可不可以正不生气忍。就说我遇到什么事情我就忍住我不要生气。但是这还是很粗糙的哈，这对法没有直接的相应，只是知道说啊、哦、我不能生气啊，我呢好，我持五戒，我不能骂别人，我不能讲坏话。这个对菩萨来讲，我们这种忍是非常粗糙的，根本是还不能够登堂入室的哈。真正的跟法相应的无生法，它相应的是无生法的这种忍。好，什么是无生法？万法不生不灭，无来无去。那如果一切世间的现象，人与人之间的关系，我们都能够看透了，是无生，无生，不生不灭，不来不去，我们还会生气吗？就不会了嘛，就像说当我们梦醒的时候，我们知道说昨天在梦里面那个人 骂我打我，你醒来的时候会不会去找他算账？不会吗？因为你知道他是假的嘛。
So when we're talking about the forbearance of non-arising, it differs significantly from what we usually talk about of, I'm going to, bear, I'm going to endure other people's slandering, or I'm going to endure exhaustion and try to, deepen my tolerance. It's not that type of forbearance that we're talking about. The type that we generally practice, trying not to get angry, trying not to get become agitated, it's a very coarse form of practice that by merely trying to practice at this superficial level, it does not correspond to true understanding of Dharma. So usually when people talk about, I want to uphold the five precepts, so I'm not going to slander other people, I'm not going to get angry. Again, it's very coarse. It doesn't get to the meat of Dharma. So this forbearance of non-arising, it actually is talking about understanding, having the true realization that all phenomenon, all Dharma is non-arising and non-perishing, and it does neither comes nor does it go. So once you understand this, then you applying this understanding to your interaction with all people, that it's neither arising, non-perishing, then there's really no point of talking about getting angry or not, right? So it's like when you're dreaming. When you're dreaming, in your dream, you were scolded or slandered by a person in the dream. Once you wake up from this dream, are you going to get back at that person? No, you're not going to do that because you understand the dream is all fake and not real.
然后呢，于诸佛法以得自在，这个我们也是哈，要常常，我自己也要常常反省，就是说我们常常在讲苦空无常的道理，我们在常常讲因缘果，对不对？但是事情一发生的时候，对不对？你呢，为什么骗我？你为什么说我的坏话？你为什么呢？这个误会我，那我还是要找你去理论的。那可这时候我们会把我们的心呢执着在这个事项上，而不会跟法相应，不会跟因缘法、跟无常法、跟无我法相应，然后就会生气，一点都不自在。我们完全是被世间的现象所控制的。那比如说我在这边讲起来好像也蛮有道理的，但是我边讲我还是会心里觉得，哦，等一下我呢要去哈找某某法师，或是找某某菩萨哈，再来跟他研究一下哈，开示一下哈。因为什么？我内心也有一点不平嘛。那所以你就说这有多难？我们任何一个时刻都要跟法相应，是多么困难的一件事情啊！那更何况哈，就说还要得自在，这是佛菩萨的境界。
The next phrase that Chittagabra Bodhisattva has mastered and is at ease with all Buddha Dharma. This phrase, it's something that I reflect upon and I use it to reflect and examine myself. So oftentimes we talk about the understanding of sufferings, of emptiness, cause and conditions, of karmic consequences, so and so on and so forth. So we seem to hold this understanding, but when things actually happen, say if someone has misunderstood us or has done something, talked badly about us, then all of those understandings have been forgotten. That instead of thinking and contemplating about these teachings, instead we attach to worldly phenomenons and so we're attached to all these worldly phenomenons and we're not controlled. We are controlled by the worldly phenomena instead of the understanding we derived. So even if I'm sitting here and I'm explaining this concept to you, there's still some lingering thoughts in my own mind that, oh, after this talk, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so, this bodhisattva and that master, because there's some misunderstanding that we have to clear up, etc. So it's actually very difficult to master, to have the to correspond to that teaching at all times, and furthermore, be at ease with the teaching and with yourself.
那最后两句哈，堪忍一切智慧，然后超度一切智海哈，他在讲的是一个是根本智，一个是厚德智哈，也就是说一切智是空性的智慧，那超度一切智海就是说有呢一切方便智，好，就是道种智哈，名相就算了哈，就是说能够证。就是堪住在住于空性的智慧之中，而且可以示现一切的方便法来度众生哈，所以他在一切智海里面可以超度，可以驾船度众生，然后不会翻船。好，那我们一般人哦，一听到空性，有的人就很害怕，说啊空就没有了。好，那到于空。那阿罗汉证得空性，但他不会度众生，他不会操作空性的智慧。那地藏王菩萨很特别的地方，就是他根本智、厚德智，就是一切智跟方便智，他两个一起都很厉害，才能够发这个愿嘛，地狱不空，誓不成佛，众生度尽方成菩提。
So the last two phrases, he is qualified for all status of wisdom and has already transcended all ocean of wisdom. It's referring to having to obtain the fundamental wisdom as well as the expedient wisdom. Not only that you correspond and understand this most fundamental understanding, but also you're able to use it like steering a boat in the ocean and use it to transcend and help sentient beings. So,like ordinary sentient beings, when we hear about the concept of emptiness, we not only do not correspond with it, oftentimes people become fearful, thinking that, oh, emptiness, then there's nothing exists. So that obviously does not correspond with that realization. But then Ananda, for instance, Ananda, he has obtained that understanding, he know what emptiness is, realized it, but he doesn't know how to use it to help sentient beings.And then further on, we look at Chittagarbha Bodhisattva. He actually has both obtained the fundamental wisdom of emptiness. At the same time, he's able to use it to help all sentient beings. And that's why he's able to give rise to this great, powerful vows that I will not become a Buddha unless the hell has become empty. And I will not obtain the most supreme Bodhi unless all sentient beings has been saved.
那第二个三昧能力叫狮子奋训三昧，那这个大家比较少听见，那我也是第一次去好好的查一下这个狮子奋训。本来这个狮子奋训具足万恨如来是常常听到，但是狮子奋训三昧是什么呢？好，那它其实又叫做如幻的大悲法门。好，想要具有修这样的三昧，一定要发大悲心。那这个大悲心呢，可以让你如幻，就是 magical， 就是很什么，中文怎么讲，就是很神妙这样，magical 这样子 的大悲法门。那里面呢，我列出两个主要的重点，第一个重点是它是奋除维系无知之祸，我们先讲我们凡夫啦，但当我们起烦恼的时候呢，我们有没有常常反省自己花多少时间把烦恼给放掉？当我们呢能够修行有一点点功力的时候，就觉得说啊，我以前跟先生太太吵架的时候，通常要气个一个礼拜，冷战，不跟他讲话，不煮饭给他吃，一个礼拜。现在可以进步，两天就好。慢慢的就说好，只是早餐不给吃而已，中餐晚餐还是会煮给他吃，这样我们就觉得自己进步蛮多了，就烦恼，对不对，但你生气有时候就说，再更厉害一点，生气之后呢一回头就还可以跟他笑这样，就那你这就又更高干了，那这还是很粗的，比如生气是一个很粗的烦恼嘛，那这里地藏王菩萨是奋除，那个奋除是指instant 在觉知的当下它就已经是切掉了。而且觉知什么烦恼呢？是很维系的无明之惑，无知无明之惑，这是非常维系的。我们现在连搞不好连无明是什么都不知道。你说法师，你说我们是无明的众生，那无明是什么？其实我也讲不清楚，但是呢，以假为真就是最大的无明。认为一切世间的现象是永恒不变的，也是一个很大的无明嘛，哈。所以他，然后他是可以非常维系的无知之惑，他马上警觉，马上就断除。这是其中一个能力。
So the second one is called the lion-like vigor samadhi. And it's also called a wondrous or illusory magic, like a wondrous great compassion Dharma door method. That in order to cultivate this kind of samadhi, you have to first generate a great compassion. That's what it corresponds with. So this samadhi is further divided into two different parts. And the first one is to be able to spontaneously and vigorously remove the subtlest of delusions. So since we've been practicing the Buddha Dharma for a while, we can use it to reflect about ourselves. That usually when we give rise to some sort of vexations, how long does it take for us to remove these vexations? So say if you had an argument with your spouse, maybe in the past, it takes you a whole week of not talking to each other and finally come to resolution. And these days, maybe it has shortened to only 2 days. That's already a great improvement. Or perhaps in the past that you have a fight with your husband, you decide not to cook for him at all. And now you will cook one meal and just skip the breakfast, perhaps. And sometimes that maybe you have made even further improvement, that you're angry one instant, but then the next instant you're able to turn around and smile. So that's already a sign of progress. At the same time, it's still very coarse. After all, having anger is a very coarse emotion. Whereas Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, he's able to instantly remove any kind of delusions and vexations. And we're not talking about the coarse kind of anger or whatnot that we experience personally. Over here, we're talking about the most subtle form of delusion. Once he becomes aware of them, he's able to remove it instantaneously. Whereas for us, we may not even know what these delusions are. If you ask me, I can't really explain it all that well either. But some examples of these delusions is taking whatever is illusory as real. That's a kind of ignorance and delusion. Or thinking that things can be permanent. That's another form of delusion. So while we are ambushed and embedded in all these delusions and not even know about them, Chittagarbha Bodhisattva is able to quickly remove even the subtlest of delusions.
那第二个特色呢，是他入出三昧的时候非常的快。好，那我们一般、就是开始练打坐嘛，好，或是你啊开始打七，经过了几年之后，你发现哎，每次打禅七第三天，你就可以进入非常安详哈、宁静哈、清安的境界哈，好棒哦，对不对？至少要花个三天嘛，哈。然后呢，然后有的人参话头呢，哈，参到后来进入移情哈。然后到禅期结束了哈，还在疫情当中呢，然后就变成傻傻的这样哈，然后就花很多的时间，然后再恢复正常。那这就不是狮子分训三昧了哈，狮子分训三昧是 instant 就进三昧 ，instant 就出来。为什么需要这种能力？哇，你知道有多少众生要救吗？在多少世界有多少众生要救吗？地藏王菩萨，等一下我们会讲哈。每天早上起来就是入定开始救度众生，他要救动地藏王菩萨救度众生，就是通通都是在入不同的定救不同的众生，所以他那是非常快的哈，一进一出就是很快，不像我们这种就是功力不够的，就是慢慢的进，慢慢的出。那最厉害的佛呢？ 佛的大定就是无时不在定中，没有什么进出可言的，这种是比较厉害的。
So the second one of the second part of this lion-like vigor samadhi is exiting and entering samadhi without any lapse in between, very quickly entering and very quickly exiting samadhis. So let's take us, ourselves as an example. Usually after a few years of meditation, we attend retreats and sometimes you feel like, oh, starting at day one, day three, I will be able to sit very well at peace and at ease. And for us, that is already a sign of progress. Or some people, they do a huatao retreat, and then they enter this cloud of doubt sensation. And even until the last day of retreat, they're still in that doubt sensation and not able to depart from it. So they carry it with them into their life after retreat, and maybe for quite a few days we're still a little dumbfounded or whatnot. So those kind of state are not considered lion-like vigor samadhi. It's too slow. So whereas for Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, he's able to enter it very quickly and leaving samadhis very quickly as well. And why is speed even important? Do you know how many sentient beings there are to be saved? And so, since there are so many, so numerous, you have to be able to do it very quickly. And we're going to talk about it later on that, in fact, Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, every day he enters samadhis in order to save sentient beings. So whenever he's saving sentient beings, he's already in a state of samadhi. And he does it very quickly, back and forth, entering and exiting. And an even higher state then will be the Buddha state, where the Buddha is always constantly in the state of samadhi, and there's no need to talk about entering and exiting.
那这句话呢，也是在形容这个狮子奋训三昧哈，他的这个功德力哈，他能吹拂外道邪论，然后呢，开大悲之门，然后使恶圣，他们称这边写外道恶圣是小兽，就是小小的野兽，色伏嘛，所以叫狮子。狮子是什么？百兽之王，对吧？他能够色伏那些小野兽，所以叫做狮子奋训三昧。像这个我们就没有这个能力，像我们要是，我们不要讲说跟外道的辩论，我们佛教徒自己辩论就常常要辩得面红耳赤，讲不清楚，然后到底是谁对谁错。那比如说我们这个藏传的遇到汉传的，汉传的遇到南传的，南传的遇到日本的、韩国的，我自己佛教界里面常常就会为一些事情就是这不同的意见嘛。那你还说外道，你讲不清楚，你没有办法摄服，你有那种威德力可以摄服所有其他的这种不同的知见的时候呢，那狮子奋训三昧它就有这样的一个威德力，自动让你摄服。
So the next part is further description about this lion-like vigor samadhi, that once entering such samadhi, one is able to utilize the great compassion body of Dharma realm, widening the gate of great compassion, manifesting strength and power according to conditions, defeating the lesser beast of outer path and two vehicles. Over here, people of outer path and the two vehicles are referred to as lesser beast. That is in contrast with the metaphor of lion, where the lion is the king of all animals. And so in comparison, the outer path and the others, lesser vehicles are called a small beast. So we can use this to think about our encounters with when we have a discussion with people of different faith or the outer path, or not even so, maybe between different sects, different schools of Buddhism, that oftentimes people engage in debate trying to convince each other of specific doctrines, so Tibetan Buddhists having debate with Theravada Buddhists, having debate with Japanese and Korean lineage of Buddhists. So even within Buddhists, the realm, the circle of Buddhists were already not able to convince or defeat each other coming to a unified understanding. Needless to say that we also don't have this ability to convince the outer path and other vehicles. And whereas Chitgaba Bodhisattva has this samadhi and is able to defeat all.
好，这个我要 pass。然后接下来就是讲，所以呢，在经文里面就开始举例哈，他列出了23种地藏王菩萨入了23种定哈，比如说入这种定，然后度什么样的众生，让他们呢得到无量无边的不可思议的利益安乐。好，就是诶，他列出了23种定。
And the next part is then the Chitgaba Bodhisattva enters 23 different kinds of samadhi, and by entering these different kinds of samadhi, saving different kinds of sentient beings.
那又有花一大篇幅哈，又讲说这个，我这是把它简略的哈，缩减的。他说这个世界假就像我们现在哈，有刀兵劫，有疾病哈，有饥荒的哈，有干旱的各种的灾难呢哈，地藏王菩萨看到这种事情的时候，他早上起来就以诸定力来帮助我们呢，把这些不好的劫难去除以后呢，然后让我们得到慈悯安乐跟饱满。
Then the next section is actually also quite long, and the slide here is the condensed version.That I have shortened the text and condensed it. And so it's basically further talking about the kind of power and virtues that Chitgaba Bodhisattva has, that there are a lot of calamities in this world currently, wars, famines, and whatnot, flood. So should wars and calamity arise in the world and cause harms to sentient beings, this good man, which is referring to Chitgaba Bodhisattva, he observes the phenomenon and then he enters various kinds of samadhis in the morning.In order to alleviate the disasters and bring peace, joy, and satisfaction to all the sentient beings.
从前面讲两个三摩地哈，再讲到为把这些地藏王菩萨怎么入定救动身的这些内容举出来哈，是因为修地藏法门的菩萨们哈，一定要修止观。要修定慧，而且是定慧等持，因为你看哦，入定之后就动身，一般我们都觉得入定嘛，没有一般的，如果是世间的定，就是你没有念头嘛，你身体身心都定在那里不动嘛，这不是地藏王菩萨的定哦，他是入定之后去刀兵劫、机警劫都可以去救的呢，救一切众生的这种定叫做楞严大定，守楞严定叫做狮子分训三昧，是定中去救度众生，你同时能够安住在空性的智慧里面，又可以怎么样操作空性的智慧来救度众生，所以我们就是所以地藏王菩萨不会被一切现象所绑住，他可以直接看到问题的点，然后给我们适当的帮助。
So the reason why we describe the two samadhis in quite detail and then using that to describe how the Chitgaba Bodhisattvas enter different kinds of samadhi to help sentient beings is because this is to highlight the importance for those of you who want to practice the method of Chitgaba Bodhisattva. To practice this method, you have to simultaneously practice samatha and vipassana. You have to practice both concentration,stillness and wisdom both together simultaneously. So you can't just have concentration and be still. The point of having this is to be able to use it and through wisdom to save all sentient beings. So it's the use of both the Supreme Suragama Samadhi, the Supreme Lion-like Vigor Samadhi, and at the same time, so having the samadhi at the same time abiding in the wisdom of emptiness. So in order to save all sentient beings. So that because of this, Chitigaba Bodhisattva, he's not entangled in all the worldly phenomenons. Instead, he has the wisdom to cut right through the chase and see the origin of the problem, and then using that wisdom to save all sentient beings.
那这个止观的法门，定慧的法门，修定慧的法门，我们在《战场三恶业报经》里面，下卷讲唯心是观跟真如实观有讲到，讲的还蛮细的。那本经第二卷开始也会讲修禅定的法门。
So in the last sutra that we discussed already quite extensively, the practice of samatha and vipassana, in the sutra of 战朝三业, in the previous sutra where the casting divination of,
divination of well,
which we don't recall the English
wholesome
title,
and unwholesome
karma. We'll get the title to you later if you need it. So in that sutra, we already went into quite an discussion about the practice of samatha and vipassana through the practice of mind conscious only, and also the contemplation of true suchness. And we went to a lot of details. And then further on, in this particular sutra, in chapter 2, we're going to come back and revisit the concepts.
好，那刚刚以上讲的都是在讲地藏王菩萨，那我们凡夫呢，还差得远呢，然后我们又是烦恼鬼嘛，然后呢之间又不够，然后所以我们就身上就是要不然生病嘛，要不然破产啊，也没钱啊，然后什么，就是我们就会身上，我们在我们身上或是我们周边的人经历就会种种的一些困难，然后不然就被就要去做监牢嘛，要不然有没有一大堆很不幸的事情就会发生在我们身上，那一发生在我们身上我们就怎样，就没办法修行，就说法师你说叫我来佛堂，我告诉你我股票大跌，我的 retirement 都没了，我得赶快去赚钱，我得想办法没好，现在是不是股票大跌啊？然后呢一下就说我小孩子这样不行啊，我要管教他，不然他乱交朋友，要不然他都不出去做事，一天到晚就在看手机看什么有的没有的，然后你就烦恼一大堆，你就觉得说我不能来学佛，我没有时间来佛堂的，我家里事情一大堆，对，那地藏王菩萨也很慈悲的，提供给我们两个法门。其实这个两个法门我发现是通所有菩萨给我们的法门，大概都是这两类的法门。第一个法门是说自心称名念诵归敬供养地藏王菩萨摩诃萨，那同样的观世音菩萨是不是这样，也是然后还有什么阿弥陀佛，对，还有什么菩萨，普贤菩萨还有什么，还有哪一个大势至菩萨，反正就是我们有很多菩萨，通常都会跟他讲说，跟我们讲说万一你有什么苦难你就不行了，就至少称念我的名号嘛那我们就是遇到不可解决的事情的时候，就是自心称名地藏王菩萨摩诃萨，然后他就会随其所应，就随我们所应然后安置升天涅槃之道了那随其所应这个学问也很大了我们称地藏王菩萨拜佛到底我们会跟什么相应？假设你是说地藏王菩萨拜托我要是找到这份工作我就你那个地藏法会的时候，我就来认一个功德主。好，你就是跟人天道相应嘛，就是你因为你的愿是这样嘛，就跟人天道相应嘛。那你又说地藏王菩萨，如果我要是度过这个难关之后，我一定好好的学佛，我一定不要这么烦恼，我一定要帮助世间一切的众生。 哇，这跟什么道相应？菩萨道跟解脱道相涅槃道相应的，所以就是你反正你求什么，它是随其所应。那你说哦，你不能说哦，我希望能够赚一个亿，然后我就来捐一千块，这相应吗？这投资啊，这也是，这太暴力了吧。说求佛菩萨说我想要赚一个亿，但是就赚了一个亿之后我要来这边捐一千块，哎，这个就不相应了，这太夸张了吧。然后这跟什么道相应？这跟恶鬼道相应，那么贪心。好，这后面是我讲的啦，就是说任何一种发心都还是有功德啦，只是说哎不相应啦，这不得奇怪嘛。好。
So earlier went a lot of description about Chidgaba Bodhisattva's merit and virtue, but then how does this relate to us? We have a lot of vexations, and we call ourselves ghosts of vexations, and then we lack understanding, and oftentimes we encounter difficulties, either sickness, becoming poor, no money, going to jail, and all sorts of worldly difficulties. And then what happens?We feel that we can no longer cultivate. Some people say to me that, oh, Fa Shi, the stock market has plummeted, so I need to go earn my entire retirement's gone, so I need to go recuperate and get those money back, so I cannot cultivate. Or some people may say, oh, I'm having difficulty with my kids, they stare at the cell phone all day long, so I cannot cultivate, I need to deal with them first. So, confronted with all these worldly challenges and difficulties and finding it very difficult to cultivate, what can we do? Chidgaba Bodhisattva is actually very compassionate. He provides two hands-on methods for people like us. In fact, by reading different sutras, I realized that all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas in this various sutras seem to, the methods they offer tend to fall into these two categories as well.So what are some of these bodhisattvas, like Avalokita Bodhisattva, the Amitabha Buddha, Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, etc.? They all come up with these kind of methods, one of which is when you're confronted with any kind of difficulties and find yourself not able to cultivate, you can contemplate wholeheartedly, recite the name of the Buddha, recite the sutra, pay respect, and making offerings to Chidgaba Bodhisattva. And by doing so,Chidgaba Bodhisattva will then correspond according to the different conditions to provide you with a path to be reborn into the heavenly realm and toward nirvana. So whatever that you pray for, it will correspond with the fruits, bring corresponding results. So some people may say that, may pray to Chidgaba Bodhisattva and say, oh, I have this difficulty and please help me once you help me get over this financial difficulty, then I will come back, make some donations. By making this kind of vows, you will be corresponding to the realms of human and heaven realms. Some people then, instead, they will say that by helping me with XYZ, overcoming this difficulty, I will practice harder and in order to help all sentient beings.By making this kind of vows, then you will be corresponding with the Bodhisattva path and the path of Nirvana. Some people, maybe, this part I'm adding on myself, that they may pray that, oh, please help me earn $1 billion and then I'll come back and donate $1,000. If you have this kind of mentality, I wouldn't call that being correct. You know, it's not like you are making a vows anymore. It's almost like you're making an investment. So it doesn't really correspond with Buddha Dharma. And in fact, what kind of path this may correspond to, I don't know. Maybe because of such greed, $1 billion and you only donate $1,000, that maybe correspond to some of the lesser realms. But of course, I'm adding this myself. No matter what, if you contribute,no matter how much, there's always some sort of a merit and virtue that will accompany you with it.
Okay. 那这是第一个方法，就是说当我们遇到什么灾难的时候呢，我们就是自心称名称念地藏王菩萨的圣号， 那第二个方法是地藏王菩萨也提供一个咒，其实大家都不是很晓得地藏王菩萨也有一个咒。那我们大部分都知道大悲咒是谁？观世音菩萨嘛，所以我们常常会持大悲咒，对不对？那楞严经是什么？楞严咒嘛，那药师经呢？药师咒。那其实持咒呢，它是一个密咒。那在密宗来讲是非常重视持咒的。那持咒有它的一个功德力，所以它也叫做陀罗尼，就是好像陀罗尼，就是它可以呢总持，变成你修行的一个总持，它可以让你连接到所有的佛法的一个总持。那同样的，地藏王菩萨等一下我先看，等一下有时间再播给大家听，因为我刚开始也不会念，没听过，自己去网络找也跟着念，找了一个我最喜欢的版本，等一下播给大家听。但因为我今天想要讲一个东西很重要的，所以我想讲完再播给大家听。那持这个咒呢，可以令我们增长好多东西一串。比如说你呢身体不好的，你可以你的身体变强壮，你生病的病可以好。然后呢你假设呢你是老师都没有学生，念一念学生就很多了，像我们的法师嘛，讲经没人听，多念几句就有人来听，哇好多就说你它可以增长，就是它不会空中生有，但是你会增长，就是让你的善根你的福德资粮可以增长，念这个咒然后最好的最棒的是说这个陀罗尼你持它的时候呢，你会你的智慧猛力啊，烦恼贼叫一看到就把它卡掉了，这才能叫陀罗尼嘛，才能叫总持。所以我们修行任何一个法门一定要把它变成是总持，一个陀罗尼，就是说你好像就看到什么你就智慧剑，有没有？文殊菩萨不是有一把智慧剑吗？斩断所有的烦恼丝，看到就斩，看到就斩，但是不是杀人那种斩，斩断烦恼丝。
So that was the first method. Whenever you encounter any kind of difficulties, then you can recite the Bodhisattva's name. The second method is the recitation, the upholding of this mantra, Dharani, of Chitagarbha Bodhisattva. Dharani is something that's secret, and it has the special merit and virtue that actually subsumes all teachings. And Chitagarbha Bodhisattva has this mantra that is less familiar to most people, that we're mostly familiar with the Great Compassion mantra of Dharani, which is spoken by Avalokita Bodhisattva. Or you may be familiar with the Surigama mantra, which is came from the Surigama Sutra. But actually, Chitagarbha Bodhisattva has a mantra as well, which I wasn't familiar with. So I went on the internet and downloaded this sound file. And so later on, when we have time, there's still one very important concept that I want to cover later. So I'll cover that concept first. And then if we have time, I'll play the audio file for you of this mantra. And what is the benefit of reciting this mantra? So in the sutra, there's actually a long list of benefits. Say it will improve your health, or say if you're a teacher but doesn't have any student, then if you recite it, then the students will come. So the list went on and on. It's a very long list of benefits that you will derive by reciting this mantra. So basically, by using this method, it will nurture whatever good roots you have, help you facilitate those, grow those. It will not give you anything out of nothing, but it will facilitate and nurture what's already in existence. And furthermore, the Dharani can enhance and sharpen all type of wisdom, and it will help you destroy all the bandits of vexations. So it becomes a tool that, again, it subsumes all different kinds of methods. So whichever method that you use, you have to work on trying to make your method into one that can subsume all methods, that it can become sort of like a sword, not to kill people, but a sword where you can, it can help you cut through all vexations and cut away all delusions. And that is what we're trying to achieve with our practice.
这个咒叫做具足水火吉祥光明大寂明咒，大家应该有听过四大明咒、四无上咒、四无等等咒，有没有？心经有讲嘛，所以它是也是一个大明咒，大寂明咒。那它不长哦，它比大悲咒短。然后这是这个我们 等一下再来播。那这是它的英文，那英文翻译就叫做
So the mantra is called Extensive Bodhisattva Chitgava Mantra. It's actually not quite very, it's not very long. It's even shorter than Great Compassion Mantra.
Yeah.
Mantra.
So, 就等一下再来播哈，直接播给你听。好，因为我播在里面了，所以他就直接 play 了。听得懂吗？听过没？
没有。
但是你们有没有听到一个一直 repeat 的称呼？称呼有没有？称呼就是在讲地藏，就是地一直坚固嘛，哈。所以他是一直在就是赞美那个地的一个功德嘛，哈。那现在就是我有去查每一句的意思，哈，蛮有意思的。好，这有机会再说哈。那这个 mantra 哈，就是这么短。常常去送他，好，就是有刚刚讲的那些功德，好。
So, the audio file just played automatically, I guess, I added it into my slide, so it just played. So, have you heard of it before? And there's actually, I don't know if you catch it, but in there's this phrase that was repeated often, tempu. It's referring to earth.And so it's a lot of praises for the virtues of earth, Chitgava Bodhisattva. And so this mantra is actually quite short, and if you can recite it often, then you will derive all those benefits that we have listed earlier.
然后先要跟大家介绍的一个是四大种，其实大家常听过，是四大听过嘛，就是在讲大种，叫做四大种，是在讲一样的东西哈。话说这个经文呢哈，这个称呼这个哈咒文讲完之后哈，然后我们的天人一大堆的天人哈，好像多少一万多，就是一堆天人就问佛说，我们呢好，天人他不是可以飞来飞去吗？然后上山下海嘛哈，他就问佛说，哎，我们哦，我们这些天人都已经呢。四大种可以很自在了，先我知道大家也不大懂，我刚开始也不大懂，他说我们四大种已经很厉害了，那为什么这个地藏王菩萨呢，他可以呢了知四大种初中后相生灭为损， 就是佛就说对，慈善男子他能够入甚深的波野波罗蜜多，就我们之前讲了嘛，就是什么首楞严三昧又叫波野波罗蜜多的，就是他已经能够入真正佛的空性之后，而且他能够了知地水火风初中后，也就是生住异灭，初中后相，然后生灭为顺，他的起灭跟他的就是要发生还是要毁坏坏这样子，就是为什么他可以这样子。
So after the Dharani was spoken, and all these praises of the temple of earth, a lot of deities arise from the assembly, and heavenly beings arise from the assembly, and they a bunch of them, and then they ask the Buddha, us as heavenly beings, we have great masteries of the four elements already, and we are at ease with the four elements. But why is it that Chedgaba Bodhisattva not only has he obtained this level, that he's able to understand the beginning, middle, and ending of all these four different elements, as well as the way they arise and ceases, as well as the ways that they come in harmony and conflict? And why is it that he has this ability? And then the Buddha then answered that because he has obtained the subtle and profound Prajna Paramita.
这句话呢，我刚开始看的时候没有觉得很重要，可是看完了之后，我又回头再看的时候，我发现这句话大有学问，所以我一定要跟大家分享。我决定要用觉灵菩萨偈，大家念地藏经都知道一开始不是有觉灵菩萨偈吗？为什么华严经的觉灵那个偈那段句子要放在地藏经前面呢？然后它里面就讲到四大，讲到大众嘛，然后我就发现说这句话的意思是，目前我的了解是，我觉得佛在说地藏王菩萨他入了甚深的波野波罗蜜多之后，他就可以知道一切世间所有的现象的生住异灭，每一个现象，每一个众生，每一个念头，每一个身心世界，物质界跟心理世界的生住异灭，这就是首楞严定啊。
So the first time I read through the sutra and I came across this quote, I didn't think much of it. And then I went back to the text and I read it the second time, and it suddenly registered that I registered the importance of this quote. And so I decided to, in explaining this quote and show its significance, I'm going to incorporate it with the verses from the Bodhisattva of Forest of Awareness, and so which has been juxtaposed and put in the beginning of the sutra. The verses has been put in the beginning of the sutra. And so the reason why I think it's significant, this quote is significant, is basically the Buddha is pointing out that by having obtained this most supreme subtle wisdom of Prajna Paramita, Chidgaba Bodhisattva, he gained the ability to see through and understand all worldly phenomena. Not only so, he understands the rising, abiding, changing, and cessations of all the phenomena, not only in the materialistic realm, but also the realm of the mind. And so that's what this quote is emphasizing.
好，那大种哈，我们来复习一下，它又叫四界，叫做地界、水界、火界、风界。为什么不直接叫做地水火风呢？而要用界，因为它，我查了一下这个帕奥禅林禅师，他们是把这个界呢当成，如果我们用这个就近法来讲的话，它是一个空性之中的一个能力，而不是真正说哦，这是地啊，这是水，不是用物质来形容四大， 而是用能力，在空性之中的能力来形容四大。所以我们常常不是听到四大皆空吗？四大皆空是指地水火风哦，不是什么酒色财气哦，还是什么？不是那个哦，哈。我们一般讲佛教讲的四大皆空，是指地水火风，它都是空性，空性之中的一个能力，哎的功能，空性之中的一个功能。那现在你看哈、哦，地的功能，哎，你先翻好了。
So let's do a quick review of these four great elements. It's oftentimes referred to as Mahabhuta or Katudatu. And why is it that we don't merely talk about them as earth, water, fire, wind, as these four elements? Why is it important to add the words Datu, after the four elements? So I look into it and I found this source which explains that these four elements should not be understood as material things, phenomena like earth, water, the material of earth, the material of water, etc. It should not be understood as that. Instead, it should be understood as functions. They are functions of emptiness.
Okay. 那地它就是它的性质就是比较坚固嘛，哈，然后它的功能就是 support， 就是让我们有立足的地方。那水呢，它的功能性质是它可以滋润，所以它有粘着的，哈，就是指粘着嘛，好像面粉加水不就粘成一团了嘛，哈。那水呢，它有温度，好，所以它可以怎样把生米煮成熟饭嘛，哈。那风呢？它的性质就是流动，所以它可以推动，有没有？有时候我们不是有大，我们那个今天起风，你一站在那个外面啊，风一吹，怎样，衣服就飘起来，甚至还会被人会被吹动，对不对？那我们不是有风车吗？不是可以发电吗？好，它就是可以，因为流动嘛，哈，高气压、低气压，它就会产生一个动力，这样子哈，这是它的就是特性，地水火风的特性。
So the first one is earth, and the property of earth is it's solid, and the function then becomes support. It has supportive function of providing you a ground, something to stand on, a point of departure. And water, the next one is water. Its property is moisture, and its function is gluing or binding. So think about adding water to flour, and then you have a ball of mixture. So if the water binds the flour together, binding. The third one is fire. It provides warmth. It's its property, and it has the ability to heat things up and cook something. It's like rice. That's, you need fire to cook rice. The fourth one is wind. It flows, and so the function of wind is providing movement and motions. So when there's a huge gust of wind outside, you stand outside and your clothes start to billow, or sometimes you even feel your body is pushed by this wind. Similarly, there's windmill, as well as electricity that can be generated by windmills. And again, it provides some sort of a motion, a force that creates motion.
那用地水火风可以来解释我们的世间的色法，就是物质界的所谓的内四大跟外四大。内四大就是我们的身体，外四大就是什么？这个世界，外在的世界嘛。那我们常常也听到了嘛，比如说我们的骨头，我们的皮肤就是什么？地。那水呢？眼泪啦，血液呀，哈，这些还有口水，这些都是水嘛。火呢？体温。那风呢？风是呼吸哈。那请问，我们的心脏为什么会跳动？为什么会血液循环？你们有没有想过，它跟呼吸有关？ 反正呢在我们的身体就可以很明显的看到地水火风的运作，然后最重要的一个观念是缺一不可，more or less 而已嘛，缺一不可，所以地水火风是同时存在的，因为它在空性不同的显现，你不可能说我没有地，你说哦这个杯子都是固体的，是地没有水火风，是这样吗？它的水，它任何一个物质都有 moisture， 对不对？都有一个 glue 把它绑得住嘛，啊火呢有没有温度？它会不会吸温？它会吸温，它有温度的嘛，那它会，那风我都看不见，我里面的分子动来动去的，我们只是看不见而已，就是聚光跟微光而已。所以任何一个物质我们都可以用地水火风的性质来形容它，同样的山河大地也是一样的。但我要讲的是一个世间的现象是怎么跟地水火风有关。
So this material realm, phenomenons of forms can be divided into the internal four elements and the external four elements. And these can all be described and characterized by the four elements. So for instance, this you all know already, the bone and the skin is considered earth, our tears, saliva, and sweats are water.Body temperature is fire and breath is wind. But have you ever considered why does a heart beat? What makes a heart beat? And what makes the blood circulate? So it's actually important to have this understanding that none of these four elements can exist by itself. All of them exist simultaneously together. We can take this cup that I have in front of me as an example. Some people may say that, the cup is solid, so it's only earth. It only contains the earth element and nothing else. But that's not true, because anything that forms a shape, you need water, some sort of moisture to bind it. And what constitutes the wind, inside the molecules are actually moving. It's just that we cannot see it. But if you look closely, taking a micro view of the molecules, there's motion involved. As for wind, and also temperature, this mug here that actually soaks up heat or it gives off heat. So there's fire element. So all these elements cannot exist by itself. They all exist simultaneously.
好，那我们现在解释。试着用地水火风解释一个现象，譬如说你呢忽然有一个 idea， 你觉得我应该来去成立一个网络公司，譬如说20年前你觉得网络 买卖东西应该是一个很好的 idea， 然后呢你就有一个什么一个 idea， 就是你的立足点，对不对？然后当你去跟别人讲的时候，有的人就附和你，觉得是，然后我们就会聚集，意见相同的人就会聚集在一起，就 glue， 大家 come together， 对不对？然后呢 ，come together 之后，就说哎，大家一直讨论，就会产生一种热情。如果说你对牛弹琴，你的投资者对你没兴趣，啊，你一巴拉巴拉一直讲，他就。没什么反应，那这件事情就不会成了，因为没有热度，这个 idea 没有热度，它就不会发生。好，有热度了，什么都有了，事情会发生吗？不行，你要往前走啊，你得去研究一下成立公司要怎么成立啊，技术的问题啊， office 在哪里，对不对？你就要有一个推动的力量，说 that's再往前走一步，把这个公司成立了，那才有可能这件事情发生嘛。同样的，追女朋友是不是这样啊？不，追太太好了。不是，你看到，我忽然看到一个人，你一见钟情，你忽然有一个 target， 就是你的立足点，然后你就会想办法怎样 粘上去，对吧？用这个比较夸张的，你想办法找个机会就要亲近他嘛。说哎呀，想尽办法，我也不知道什么办法，反正就是你也想尽办法就跟他就啊沾一下沾一下这样子，你黏住他这样子。然后呢，如果对方呢对你没有意思啊，就很冷冷的嘛，不要烦我，也不回你电话，也不跟你约会。但是如果他呢，哎，好像也有那么一点意思啊，两个就会怎样擦出什么？火花来，对不对？哈，我就好棒哦，快要成功了，快要成功了。但是一交往十年，你说着不着急？下一步要做什么？结婚了呗，结婚生小孩了嘛。然后就旁边呢，就会有人来踢你一脚，推你一下，说那你是不是该去买戒指了吗？或是怎么样了，对不对？所以他就有一个风，有一个助缘，把你这样呼推一下，然后啊，终于成功，两个步入礼堂了哈。就一切事情的发生，如果我们去反思，大概就有这种一定要这个，当然他不一定说一定是先地水火风啊，他一定可能有时候是一起发生，或是这个先那个强那个弱哈。那一件事情的发生，就一定要这种四种性质，他才能够成就的。
So that is only to, the example I gave earlier describes materialistic objects, but what about non-materialistic phenomena? Let's take an idea, the generation of idea, for example, that you suddenly come up with an idea that you want to open an online business, and say 20 years ago, it sounds like a great idea. So this idea, it becomes your vantage point. It's the earth that gives you,That's the support, that's your vantage point from which things can progress. So the idea is the earth element. And then you have people who are maybe interested in your idea and they come together sharing ideas, people of shared views binding together. And that's the water element, the function of gluing, binding.And then through extensive discussion, people become passionate about this project, that's fire. And finally, if you only stop there, that's not going to go anywhere. You need further movement, such as finding the office space or figuring out all the technical aspects of starting a business. The motivation then provides the push for the establishment of this online business. Let's use another example, pursuing a spouse, finding a girlfriend or getting a wife or husband. First, you have this idea of liking someone, and then you find ways of interacting constantly with this person, creating opportunities for contact, and that's the glue binding aspect. If that person is not interested, then it's cold and no further progression can be made. But if there's some sort of interest and there's a spark, we call it a spark, don't we?That spark, there will be a spark and things, that's the fire element. And then, after you've been going out for 10 years, then people start asking you questions. When are you going to get a ring? When are you getting married? They push you. That provides a sort of motivation, incentive to move things along. And eventually you, get married and have kids. So none of these phenomena can exist without, with any of these elements missing. All four needs to happen simultaneously. Of course, things don't always follow this sequence. It can have different sequence and the weight of importance may be different, but all four needs to come together.
其实我们任何一个念头的产生也是的。如果我们去细细分的话，只是说这个风呢，产生一个念头呢，你要把它变成是一个 long story, 还是说你就把它断除，这个念头的分析就真的比较复杂哈。那所以一切世间的现象都不离这个地水火风的性质来成就它。但是呢但是我们要有一个正确的观念哈，就想从觉灵菩萨记来这边跟大家分享。
So everything in the world, all worldly phenomena come to existence because of these four elements. And even thoughts, every single thought also follow this pattern. But to analyze it, it takes a more sophisticated analysis. And also, as to when a thought comes to being, whether you want to let it further develop into a full story or you're going to just cut it right there, that will also differentiate the result. But my point is that these four elements are necessary in all the worldly phenomena.
这个觉灵菩萨偈哈，是觉灵菩萨在赞佛的偈子哈。他一开始就讲说，譬如工画师哈，分布诸彩色，你要画一幅画，不是要上色吗？哈，那其实你要画什么东西，都是由我们的虚妄的心去取那个像。那问题是我们每个人取的像都不一样。你看这幅画是谁画的？ Van Gogh 哈，很有名的一幅画叫的 Starry Night， right？ 他看到星夜的天空，画出来是这样。那你画的星夜的天空会怎么样呢？好，每个人看星空，好看同样的星空，大种无差别哈。同样的星空，四大组成的星空，没什么差别哈。但我们的虚妄取的像是不同的，所以我们画出来是怎么样？不一样的东西，哈。
So this verse initially was uttered by the Bodhisattva of the forest of awareness, and it was used to praise the Buddha. And it goes like this: the first part is it's like a painter spreading the various color.In painting, making these paintings. And ultimately, what it's trying to illustrate is that our illusory mind grasps onto different phenomena and different forms, but different people grasp onto different aspects of the form, different forms, that differentiation between people. So just look at the example I'm giving you. Do you know who painted this?Who is it? Van Gogh. Van Gogh's Starry Night, very famous painting. But if I ask you to paint a starry night, even looking at the same sky, same night sky, different people will look at different aspects of the sky and come up with different kinds of painting.
那可是呢，它这个大种是没有差别的，这个星空是没有。
Even though we grasp onto different things, but intrinsically, the starry night is made out of these four great elements, which is, there's no differentiation of that.
那地水火风，好，组成的任何一个现象呢，哈，它没有颜色，颜色不代表地水火风，那颜色之中呢，也没有地水火风之中没有这个颜色，好，那这个颜色之中也没有地水火风，但是又必须要靠地水火风，我们才可以画出这幅画来。
So these four elements intrinsically does not have any colors, nor does the color contain the four elements. At the same time, In order for the colors to manifest, then it depends on the use of the four elements.
比如说哈，彩虹嘛，不是红橙黄绿蓝靛紫嘛，那它是因为什么？哦，水汽嘛，阳光啊折射，然后大家都很清楚嘛，哈。但请问，这个颜色是水吗？是地吗？是火是风吗？它折射来的，对不对？那地水火风里面有这个颜色吗？因为它是虚妄产生的嘛，然后我们因为人的眼睛可以看到是彩虹，我不知道狗看是不是彩虹啊，或是蚂蚁看是不是彩虹。那是因为我们人的眼睛 perceive 刚好这样的角度，这样的一个光线，刚好一样的湿度，就看见彩虹。但是 空性之中地水火风的特质一直在那里没有改变，可是它呈现的东西让我们感觉每个人就是感觉的是不一样的。所以他说大种中无色，色中无大种，但是又不离大种，你没有它你又显现不出来。
So to illustrate what I was trying to say is we can take rainbow as an example. So we all know what makes up the rainbow, right? It's the water vapor and the light hits the water molecules and it reflects the light and then we perceive the colors of the rainbow, 7 different colors. So this rainbow is made up of the four elements.But the four elements intrinsically does not contain these colors. We see the colors because our human eyes and our own perception. So human beings perceive the 7 or 6 different colors of the rainbow. But I wonder, I think the dogs, the makeup of the dog's eyes are different, or ants. I don't know if they see 7 different colors or not. So the four elements remain unchanged, but the colors does not exist intrinsically.And it's only a perception of that we make.
It's because of the four elements, not made of four elements. The color is because of the four elements. Okay. 然后呢，同样的道理，心中无彩画，彩画中无心，然不离于心，有彩画可得。它是同样的句子，把它换成心跟彩画。好。那这幅是什么？蒙娜丽莎的微笑，对吧？哈，请问画者哈，在画的时候呢，他的心里有没有蒙娜丽莎？有。啊，我们要讲《楞严经》的七处真心了，但他就是你有窗户，窗户在你心里吗？你不可能嘛，你不可能把这个蒙娜丽莎装到你的心里去嘛，齁。那同样的这个彩画有没有你的心？有，齁。你说我很用心画的呢。那我去打这幅画你会不会痛？齁。这句话其实就在讲七处真心破那个，齁。就是我们画一个心画出来，齁。但是那个你的心没有这幅画的，然后那个画里面也没有你的心的。齁。但是如果你没有心，你画不出这个幅画，画不出来的。好，同样的道理，就是跟上面只是相对哈，啊，换一个名词这样子。
So the next part is in the mind, there's no painting. In the painting, there's no mind. Yet apart from the mind, no painting can be made. The mind is always non-abiding, unimaginable, countlessly manifesting all forms unknown to one another. So this painting that we see here, what is it? It's Da Vinci's Mona Lisa, right? When the painter is painting this painting, is there a Mona Lisa in the mind? And is your mind in the painting? So there's no Mona Lisa in the mind, and the painting does not contain the mind.
心中的妈妈不是妈妈，记得吗？
Do you remember?
心中怎么会有蒙娜丽莎呢？
Yeah, it all relies on having this mind that you can generate, create this painting, but the mind itself does not contain the object of being painted, nor does the painting contain your mind. This goes back to some discussions we had a long time ago that the mother in your mind is not the real mother, which is then related to Suragama Sutra.
然后呢，下一句就说彼心恒不住，无量难思议，世间一切色，个个不相知。也就是说，我们在画画的时候呢，其实我们的心，它心不住于任何一点，是本来的性本，我们的本性就是这样。可是我们不知道，那因为我们不住，所以它可以世间一切色。好，那但是呢，比如说，哎，我现在看到这么多人，对不对？我也看到杯子，我们心中所呈现的这个世界的任何一个影像，彼此之间是不相知道的。比如说，我们有个新来的菩萨嘛，哈，他不认识他，可是你们两个都在我心中，哎，为什么你们两个不认识？你们有没有想过？ 这已经很再进一步了哈。你们都是我心中的众生，但是你们却彼此不认识。这学问很大了哈。你们都是，你们如果愿意接受说我们众生都是我们心中的众生，已经很了不起了。但是众生，我们心中的众生为什么彼此都不认识？OK, 格格不相知。
The next part of this verse is the mind is always non-abiding, unimaginable, and countlessly manifesting all forms unknown to each other. So the mind does not dwell on any particular point because of this non-abiding nature of the mind that we have the ability to be aware of all forms. Yet,It's also important to remember that the forms that have been perceived by us, they are not related to each other. There's no connection between them. So again, the forms that's perceived, the forms of any forms of phenomenons, they are not related to each other. So for instance, there may be someone who's joining us today who's new to the place, and there's another person sitting here. You are all sentient beings that's perceived by the mind, but why is that you're all in my mind, but that you don't know each other, that you have no relationship? So this goes back to this understanding that all sentient beings are sentient beings in the mind.
好。那譬如工画师不能知自心而由心故画，诸法性如是，心如工画师能画诸世间，无蕴悉从生，无法而不造。这是对应前面的，他就说，就像说，哎，这个是谁的自画像啊？是 Van Gogh 自画像嘛，就他是一个 painter 对不对？他不知道他自己的心是什么，但他可不可以画很多东西出来？那他可以用他的心画出很多的东西出来，虽然他不知道他自己的真心是什么。就像我们凡夫一样，我们看这个世间呈现出来，是不是由我们的心呈现？那请问我们知道自己的真心是什么吗？不知道，但是我还是可以看到世间的一切现象，对不对？从哪里来？从我们的无蕴。我们从我们的无蕴，然后因为只是差别在于我们不能照见无蕴皆空，我们是认为无蕴色界跟心理世界是存都是真实的状况之下来看这个世间的一切。但是如果说是由佛菩萨他是无蕴皆空的情况之下来看这个世界，他的地水火风就是不一样了。
The next part is, just as a painter who cannot know his own mind, yet he can paint according to the mind, so is the nature of all dharma. The mind is just like a painter capable of painting all phenomena in the world. The five skandhas all arise from it. There's nothing it does not create. So, over here, that's a self-portrait of Van Gogh.Van Gogh, he may not know what his mind is or what it's like, but he can use his mind to create all different kinds of paintings. Similar to us, we perceive all phenomena in the world. These phenomena are all created by us, by our own minds. Even though we do not know our own minds, but we have this ability to create all of them. And we use we see that the phenomena are created by the five skandhas, yet we lack the ability to see through the five skandhas and know that they are ultimately empty in nature.
好，剩下两张，赶快讲。大家看到图，有没有看到在动？至少有一张觉得动，有一张在转嘛。
Do you see the images moving?
好，这要讲的是说什么呢？他刚刚是讲说，其实佛跟如心，佛就是跟我们的心一样，然后众生也跟佛一样，都怎么样？体性无尽，可以示现一切，一切就是无尽的世界出来。那只要呢，我们能够知道心的行为啊，心的什么 心如何视线世间的一切相的时候呢，就是我们知道心如何照这个世间一切相的时候呢，我们就见到我们的佛性了。
So the next part is that the Buddha is just like the mind, so are the living beings are just like the Buddhas. People should know that the essence of both Buddha and mind are inexhaustible, that it has, in fact, the ability to manifest all phenomena without inexhaustibly. But once people truly understand the way the mind works, the mind's course of manifestation, how it comes to being, how it creates all these sorts of phenomena, then we will be able to see the Buddha and understand the Buddha's true nature.
比如说我们现在看看起来它在动，对不对？其实它没有在动，对不对？那会不会有一些东西我们看它没有在动的时候，它其实是在动的？好，因为我们不知道心性，我们不知道我们为什么看一个东西会动，看一个东西不会动。同样的，在经典里面也有讲哈，水，地水火风的水啊，就比如说 water。它在地水火风里面它是水的性质比较强，对不对？可是呢，天人看水是什么？琉璃是硬的还是软的？硬的哈。啊，这个水呢对于鱼来讲它是空气，是它空气，所以它到底这个 H2O 是地还是水还是火还是风呢？为什么我们不同界的人的众生看是不一样的东西，那到底这是什么东西？ H2O 到底真实的形象是什么？我们是不知道的，我们只能用人的眼光看，说这个水啊，对不对啊？就是 transparent 的这样好的水，每个人都就是我们真的不晓得真实的像是什么的，那唯有站在我们用我们虚妄的无蕴的角度来去抓取我们可以看到的像。所以这边就是告诉大家是说，如果呢要见佛性，我们一定要知道我们的心是怎么样 create 这个世间相的，然后世间的相真实的相是什么相。哦，对不起。
So when you're looking at these images, do you see that do you feel that they're moving?Maybe. But actually the images itself, it's not moving at all. So, and also when you look at things that usually don't we think are not moving, who knows, perhaps it's actually moving. We just don't know what is the true form of the phenomena. Just take, because we don't know how the mind works. We can take water as an example.In the sutra, it's described that water in the heavenly realms is perceived as crystal. But in this world, water to fish is like air that they live in. So what is this thing, water or H2O, that makes up the water that we know? What is it? What is its true form? We really don't know. Should it be considered...the earth element as in the crystal, or is it the air element as in the air for the fish? We don't know the true form because we use our illusory mind to grasp onto the different skandhas. So our perception is biased and we don't know what is the essence of the forms.
好，最重要的一句来了哈。心不住于身，身亦不住心，而能作佛事，自在未曾有，是在讲佛菩萨。好，那像我们凡夫呢，好，心住于身，法师我想去听经，但我今天身体不舒服，那身又住于心，我今天心情不好，不然呢我就是 depressed 嘛，然后我就弯腰驼背，然后呢这个心情压力久了之后又生病，然后但是婆菩萨是什么？这个比较高阶的，他不认为心就在身里面，我们的心在哪里？其实话是会讲啊，心无所不在，但是我们还是觉得心就在我们身体里面。假设心无所不在， 我们会很平等的爱护一切众生，因为你们都是我心里的一部分。很可惜，我的心在我这里，其他是你们，你们跟我们，我像人像众生像嘛，那生意不住心呢？这就是佛菩萨千百亿化身厉害的地方。他不会认为像我们现在是，你想飞可以飞吗？对不对？为什么你不能飞？谁告诉你你不能飞？因为我们是人生，就我们的 karma 第七意识去抓取，我们就是只能这样子，不能飞啊，不能在水里生活，对不对？那你救度众生怎么救？千百亿化身的佛菩萨呢，是上山下海，去哪里都行，他身不会住于说任何一种心的状态，要去哪去说哪里，做佛事去救度众生，自在未曾有。
Here comes the most important part, that thereafter the mind does not attach or abide in the body, nor the body in the mind, yet it's able to perform Buddha's work freely without precedent. So that is referring to the state of the Buddha, but we don't work like that. For us, our mind abide in the physical bodies. For example, you may want to come today, but you call me and say,Ah, sure, I'm not feeling well, so I won't be able to come. Or sometimes our body is abiding in the mind, where your physical body is affected by your emotions, say depression or whatever. It makes your physical appearance that you get become stoopy or your body is affected by the mind.But for the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, their mind is everywhere. It may be easy for us to say when I ask you, where's our mind? Some of you say, it's everywhere. It's easy to say, but oftentimes that's not what we really experience or practice. Had you really realized that your mind is everywhere, then you will be able to treat everything, equally, because all sentient beings are inside your mind. But instead, that's not how we operate. The way we work is that we feelThe me is inside the body and everything outside of the body is considered external and others, thus giving a rise to the notions of subjectivity and objectivity. But for Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, because their mind is everywhere, it does not abide in any particular form of phenomena. So they can do whatever manifests all sorts of forms. Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they can fly. Can you fly?We can't because we are inside this human body. That's our understanding in the seventh consciousness. Because of this understanding in the seventh consciousness that we attachment to this notion of we are humans and attached to this body, then we are confined to not able to fly and not able to breathe in the water. But if that's the case, then how can you then,follow through with the vows of saving all sentient beings if you're already so confined. So the goal is to achieving that your mind is not confined to abiding in anything.
这是在形容、佛菩萨的境界啦，就是他们可以心不住一生，身亦不住心，而能做佛事。好，那最后一句话是大家耳熟能详的，就来自于这里。若人欲了知三世一切佛，因观法皆性，一切唯心造。这个也很明显，我就不再多做解释。
So what I just said earlier, that's related to the state of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And the final part of this verse is a verse that's very familiar to many of you. If people want to truly know all Buddhas of all three times,They should contemplate that the Dharma Dhatu nature is all created by the mind. And because of your familiarity with it, I'm not going to further elaborate on it.
Okay, finish, finally. 下一次真的要讲第二卷了哈。我们来回想一下。
We're really going to get on to chapter 2 next time, promise.